doubt. Somebody say, without a shadow of a doubt.
Without a doubt.
Without a doubt. Deacon Nell say, without a doubt. He said it like he wants me to say it like that. Without a doubt.
Amen.
Amen. God said it. That settles it. Amen. Amen. I like them deacons to be feisty. Keep them deacons feisty. And unlike the bobblehead deacons, they just said, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. We ain't looking for no bobblehead deacons. Some feisty deacons. Willing to stand for something. Amen. Let's look at the book of Luke today. We're going to look at the book of Luke. And we're Luke and chapter 6. And we're still in the series. And I believe I may have one more. Then we're going to go on into the teaching out of 1 Timothy. We're going to teach a couple of series out of 1 Timothy on church and church government and church behavior and different things like that. But right now we're going to look at the radical sayings of Christ and some of the radical sayings of Christ. And how many know Jesus was radical?
Amen.
Jesus, he wouldn't have ran for political office today. He was a radical. And he was a militant. And they killed him because he was radical and because he stood against the system and the culture and the way they were doing things. And today we're going to see in Luke chapter 6, verse 27, we're going to see him speak probably one of the most radical, if not the most radical thing that he said. And some of us are going to be challenged today. I know I was.
Amen.
I know I was. I was confronted as I put this together. So y'all hang in there with me. There'll be a lot of us's in this sermon today. Amen. Because, you know, we all have to deal with some things. And the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. We don't have to go far, but I'm going to take it to verse, Margie say 36. Okay. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again.
Yeah.
And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise.
Amen.
For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them.
Amen.
And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same.
Amen.
And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Amen. Amen. Father God, thank you for the confrontational, confronting, radical word.
Amen.
Father God, I ask right now that you would just do a radical transformation in the heart of someone today.
Yes.
Touch this preacher first, Father God, as he delivers. Touch the ears of those that will hear.
Yes.
Give someone today an attentive spirit that they can hear.
Amen.
What thus say the Lord. Yes. Let us take our minds off of what's going on around us. Let the babies cry today.
Yes.
But let us hear what thus say the Lord.
Yes.
So we can leave here today stronger and better and more unified. And then we can go out into a lost world and preach to sinners from whom once we were. And we know, for it wasn't for the grace of God, we would still be lost. Father, thank you this morning for the word of God. And we ask that it would be delivered with power and authority. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Ministry behind enemy lines. How about that? Ministry behind enemy lines. How many have some enemies?
Oh,
I was on the line and I looked at some quotes from great men of God and some that weren't great men of God, they had some great things to say. I have one here. It says, a man with no enemies is a man with no character. I like that. I like that. That guy makes salad dressing. I bought a few bottles of Paul Newman wrote that. I thought that was interesting. Here's one. It's good to have enemies. Young people, listen to this. This is a good one for the young folks. Cassidy, listen to this. It's good to have enemies. That means you stood up for something. That's good, ain't it? See, we live in a day and age, we don't want no enemies. We just want everybody to like us. And what happens, we don't stand for nothing.
Amen.
I mean, we don't stand for nothing. If you say so.
Uh-huh.
Listen, let me give you one more. The Bible tells us to love our enemies and to love our neighbors because they are usually the same people. That's good. We're going to look at this text this day, and we're going to look at it from three points. Who is the enemy? Who is the enemy? Why we must love the enemy. That's a good text. Why we must love the enemy. That's point number two. And then the third one, how do we love him? How do we love an enemy? Because if we must love him, and most of us, including myself, really don't know how, we have to go to the Word of God. It has the Word of God. Lord, teach us how to love our enemies. Don't that sound interesting? I hope I can get through it all. I told Paul I'm going to be real long today because we're going to have a meeting.
Amen.
Thank you, sister. I love you. Listen, here we go. Here's the Word of God. Here's Jesus teaching to a self-righteous group of people who thought they had it all together. Thought they were doing everything right. They never teach an eye for an eye. Okay, if somebody do you wrong, what do we first thing we want to do? Get back. Okay? Well, some of us watch some of the movies and you know, we understand. One of the famous quotes, Clint Eastwood, you know, go ahead.
Make my day.
You know, we watch Die Hard. You know, we watch Die Hard and you know, we watch Rocky movies, they've been playing them out to the prisoner. And they all want to fight. I don't know why they play a whole Rocky series in a prison. I don't know. Roy was a warrior. I don't know. He probably, they play all the Rocky movies, and I've been breaking up fights all week, you know. But, I mean, it is what it is. But my point is here's God telling these group of self-righteous, vengeful people to love your enemies. Look what he says in verse 27. We're going to go straight down the text and cover these three points. But I say unto you, which hear. Now he's talking to everybody.
Amen.
Which hear. He's not talking about hearing and understanding, but he's saying audibly hear. That's what the word means there. Who hear. If you're under the sound of my voice, this is going to be confrontational. You're not going to like it, and you're probably going to pick up some rocks because that's what they did back in that day when they didn't like what they heard.
Amen.
They start picking up rocks. Stephen will tell you all about it. And Stephen preached one sermon and he ripped them apart and really just gave them the gospel. He just gave them doctrine straight from the Old Testament, from Genesis all the way to the New Testament. And they said, oh, Lord, have mercy. We don't want to hear that. And they picked up rocks and stoned them. Okay. Listen, watch what it says here. But I say unto you which hear, I say, love your enemies. Let's stop right there. Who's an enemy? Who's an enemy? And Jesus goes on to explain it in no uncertain terms. He says, do good to them which hate you. Hate you. Now, I was talking to Lori yesterday at the banquet, and we was talking about I got an urban dictionary on the website. So I went to the urban dictionary to find out what a hater is. Do good to them that which hate you. See, a hater. And the urban dictionary said a hater is someone, here it goes. A hater, a person that simply cannot be happy for another person's success. So rather than be happy, they make a point of exposing a flaw in that person. That's a hater. They look you up and down. They're not looking to compliment you on anything. They're looking for a spot or a wrinkle. Okay? They're looking for a flaw somewhere, something they can complain about. A hater. The result of being a hater is not exactly jealousy. The hater does not really want to be the person he or she hates. Rather, the hater wants to knock someone down a notch. Then they give an illustration. I like this. Here's Susan. She's not the hater. Jane's the hater. Susan's talk. He said, you know, Kevin from the county is doing very well. Just brought a nice house in a very nice part of town. Jane, hater. If he's doing so well, why does he drive that 89 Taurus? Now that's right out of the urban dictionary. A hater. That sounds about right. Now, let's go to the Word of God. Let's go to the Word of God. And y'all know I just love Scripture. And I have some great Scriptures, and I got so many, I don't even know which ones to pull. But I'm going to look at Jesus first in John 15. Here's Jesus. He's talking to his people. He's talking to his people. He's preparing them for warfare. He's preparing them for battle. See, we go out into the world, we're not prepared, and we get the preacher and hopped around. You're not prepared, and you get hit in the head. Okay? You took the armor off, and Paul never told him in Ephesians, take the armor off. He said, put it on. And no time did he say, take it off. We take it off, and wonder why we got a headache. Because somebody hits you in the head. And you don't even know it's coming. You're almost like Paul said, you're like shadow boxing. And you're just swinging at the air, and the enemy is invisible, and he's just beating you behind. Jake, how would you like to box a guy that you couldn't see? Be a long day. It might not be a long day. It might be a short day. Okay? Here's Jesus talking to his people in John 15. And he's talking to them and trying to comfort them because they're going out into a world full of hate. A world full of hate. He said, if the world hate you. Okay? You know that it hated me before it hated you. Why did it hate Jesus? We talked about this on Wednesday night. I don't know. I can't say we, but I know I did. I had me a ball on Wednesday night. I had probably one of the greatest Wednesday night Bible studies I ever had. Man, I'm not going over with you. Okay? You missed it. I'm not reviewing it because Blanche will kill me. But listen, if the world hates you, it's personal. And why do people hate you? Because of what you believe. Because of what you stand for. Because you're not walking with them. Folks, listen, young people, listen. Listen, get you some haters. You better have you some haters. And you tell me, if you tell me, Caitlin, you don't have nobody hate you, I'm gonna be shaking my head. There's something wrong with that picture. Okay? You better have enemies. That means you're standing. That means you're not compromising. Listen, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Why? Because Jesus said something like this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and that whosoever that believeth not in him shall perish. And I know I messed it all up, but shall perish. And you know what? Lost folks don't want to hear about going to hell because they don't believe, because a lot of them associate believing with going to church. But listen, here's what Jesus said. He says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. There's nobody going to heaven but through the Father. Now that will make you mad. Especially if you practice Islam. How about this one? John 3:3. Jesus talking to Nicodemus. He told him, see, then Nicholas lives, cut all stuff. You must be born again to inherit the kingdom of God. Matter of fact, he said, you will not even see it. You won't even be able to glance at it without being born again. That people don't like. That's confrontational stuff. That'll get you hated. Okay? You stand up in class and the teacher says, well, there's many ways to get to heaven. And Ray, you stand up and say, well, listen, my daddy's a Baptist preacher. He said there's only one way, and that's the Jesus way. Well, you may not be the valedictorian that year, because you probably won't get an A in that class. Am I making some sense? It's going to cost you something. And if your faith does not cost you something, it's not real faith. Okay? It's not real faith. Jesus said, listen, but because you are not of the world, how about that? But I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you. Why? Because that light that you're shining in their face. Okay? Some of us in here that's married, and when we wake up and cities say, I'm noisy, and I turn all the lights on, that ain't good. But that's what the world does. That's how the world feels about the Christian, because when you walk into the room, they have to change the tone, the conversation, everything. And they don't like that. They're going to hate you because what you're doing is revealing who they are. Okay? And in psychology, they used to call it the looking glass self. And you dictate who you are based on what you perceive people to be, so who you are. So you have to be careful. And you need to make a noise. You need to make some noise. You need to make a noise. You need to make a difference on your job, in the community, in your family. Okay? Don't worry about it. If everybody, you know, folks in my family, I go to the family picnic, they don't talk to me that much. You know? I mean, I'm there. Change the atmosphere. And see, that's what you do. The man of God, the woman of God, so made the party atmosphere change. I like this one. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And it's 1 Kings 22. Now, you might want to take this home and read it on your own, but it's about hate. And I love this one. And it's a great story. And I wish I had time to go through it all. But it's just great. Watch this. 1 Kings 22, 1 through 8. And it's talking about Jehoshaphat and the king of Israel. And it said they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. There's no war between Syria and Israel. Imagine that, 3 years. Imagine that. See, and you know, how does the war start? Because somebody thinks gets the wrong idea in their head. And Jehoshaphat got the wrong idea in his head. Watch what he said. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said to his servants, Know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and not take it out of the hand of the king of Syria. So he got the bright idea that they ought to go into Syria and take over, because somebody told him that it was theirs to take. Now, you know, Billy Graham used to be good at this. He would always go up to the White House when they would be ready to go to war. And I believe he was one of the 1,400. And he said, well, whatever you want to do, just write the check for me that I prayed for. Now, here's Jehoshaphat. They're ready to go to war, but Jehoshaphat. And he said, unto Jehoshaphat, the king of Israel, will thou go with me to battle in Ramoth Gilead? That's where they're going to drop the battle plan at. That's where they're going to meet. And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord, capitals, today. Then the king of Israel, there they're talking about the prophets of the day. Watch this. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? That's the question he posed to them, to these prophets. I call them bobblehead prophets. Yes, men. Because they're going to do whatever the king says. Well, the king's taking care of them. See? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Now, to come, make a long story short, they did go and they got their behind whooped. Okay? But watch this. And here's Jehoshaphat, because he's smart. He's a man of wisdom. And look what he says. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides these knuckleheads? That's my track. That's not in the Bible. That we might inquire of him. He's looking for one man that's going to stand. One man that's going to stand. And I believe God is today looking for one man, one woman. Oh, what God can do. One man or one woman that decides to stand. One woman that stands. And oftentimes it can make a whole lot of difference. One man that stands at Poland or at Warman High School. One man, one woman that stands. God's looking for one man. He's looking for one man. Watch this. He's got one man. Oh, yeah. He's got one man, Deacon Neil. He said, the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Ammi, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him. Now, folks, listen. A prophet in those days could only be wrong one time. One time. And he was stoned. Y'all with me? A prophet could only be wrong one time and they stoned him. The fact that this man was still alive and Jehoshaphat hated him means that he was right. His prophecies were correct. They were right. But I hate him. Oh, this is the ultimate hater. But I hate him. Why? For he do not prophesy good concerning me. Well, you evil. That's a true prophet. That's what got Jeremiah locked up all his life. He was a true prophet. Isaiah got sawn in half. Jesus even said they killed all the prophets. All the ones that were willing to stand on the word of God. He said, but I hate him. Why? Why do you hate him, Jehoshaphat? For he do not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. Then if he was wrong, then he ought to have been dead.
Amen.
And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Don't go to him. And they did go to him. And he said, listen, if you go up there, you're going to get your heads cut off. And they said, what do you know? And they slapped him around, beat him up, and said, feed him with bread of affliction till I come back. And I'm just prophesying the story. And Micaiah said, if you come back. They was going to war. And he said, if you come back, God is a liar. That's what he told them. Read that story. That's a great story. Read that story. That's a great story. And they went out to battle. And Jehoshaphat almost made it back. But somebody took an arrow, shot it, and hit it right in his head, in his heel, and killed him. Listen. Jesus said, they're going to hate you. They're going to hate you. That's the first point. Let's go back to Luke chapter 6. And look at that first one. He says, love your enemies. Who are your enemies? Those that hate you. Now, I thought this one's really good. I hope and pray that y'all pay attention to this. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. He said, not only those that hate you, but bless them. What? Bless them. That word, bless them, that word. Speak well of them. Speak well of them. Pray for them. Bless them. You know, when I'm out and I wear my clericals and I'm in the hospital, and the Catholics would always come up to me, Father, would you bless me? Sure, I will. Sure, I will. Okay? I'm going to bless you with some prayer. I'm going to pray in Jesus' name, not Mary's. And I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you like you've never been blessed before. Because I'm going to give you the gospel too. And I bless them. Okay? And it said, bless them that curse you. Now this ain't the kind of cursing. Now let's just understand. Amen. This ain't the kind of cursing. That goes on in Josh's body shop when he hit his thumb with the hammer. It's not that kind of cursing. Okay? It's not the kind of cursing you do when you lock your keys in the car. Okay? Okay? This ain't the kind of cursing that when the police pull you over for going 45 into 25 Okay? Y'all with me?
See,
the curse he's talking about here is when you tell somebody to go to hell. I remember I had two officers at the prison. They was arguing, they was feuding, you know, and the one female told the other one, well, she can go to hell for all I care. And I pulled him off and said, you know, that's some heavy stuff you just said. Okay, you just cursed her. Okay? And that's what God is talking about here. Let me show you the difference. We've seen Peter, and I'm not going to go there, but we know the story. Matthew 26 and 74 or Mark 14. Peter was following Jesus. And he didn't curse Jesus. He didn't say that I wish Jesus would go to hell. Anything like that. He cursed in a way to try to separate himself from who they said he was when they caught him. Okay? So he didn't curse Jesus and say, I hate the man. I wish he was dead and gone to hell. He didn't curse him like that. He just cursed in a way to separate himself, trying to defend the position he was called in. Here's the kind of cursing he's talking about. I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures. It may sound like a little Wednesday night here. But he said in this, Matthew 5:44. But I say unto you, cross-reference of this text we're in, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you and pray for them that which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now look at the difference here in Matthew 25:41. Then shall I say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angel. You see the difference between the two curses. Okay? You cussing me out is different from cursing me. Y'all with me? Let me give you one more scripture. Remember Jesus in Mark 11:21. This is interesting here. Maybe I can bring out the point. And Peter called it to remember, saying unto him, Master. They had looked past a fig tree. And the fig tree should have been what? Given out figs. But it had all leaves. Jesus wanted a fig. What did he do? He cursed that tree. And that tree started dying. And when it came back through, the disciples said to him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Withered away. Withered away. One last one. James 3. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith we curse men, or we curse men, which is made after God's similitude. That curse means we want to cast somebody in hell, and we tell them go to hell. That's the curse he's talking about. That's what your enemies are doing. An enemy, he wants to see you destroyed. He wants to see you devoured. 1 Peter 5, they say your adversary. An enemy is an adversary. An enemy is not only an adversary, it's an opponent. It's a challenger. An enemy wants to see you totally destroyed, wiped out. That's Satan's job. He wants to see you devoured. That's what he's saying in 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Pay attention. Be serious-minded. Be serious-minded. Don't be simple-minded. Be sober. Be vigilant. Watch your surroundings. Watch what's going on in your world. Watch your affections. Watch the things that you love and the things that you're attracted of. Because Satan is like a roaring lion. He's your adversary. And he's like a roaring lion. He walketh about doing what? Seeking whom he may devour. And when he can distract you, when he catch you distracted, catch you hurting, catch you sobbing and depressed, that's when he moves in. A lion does not run to the front of the pack. No. He looking for that sick one. He looking for that one with the bad leg or the one that's complaining all the time. That's the one that's ready to be devoured. We're going to be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. This is the thing God is teaching us. Be strong in the Lord. Because if we're not strong in the Lord, we're weak in the Lord. There's no two ways about it.
Yes, sir.
And the weak Christian is a vulnerable one, ready to be devoured. And that word devoured, some of you, I watch a lot of History Channel, and that's about all I can watch anymore. And that lion or that animal would take that carcass up into a tree. And to devour it. And that's what he do. And they go for the heart. That's the good part. That's why you see the lion covered with blood. They go for the heart. And that's why we have to protect our heart. Who is the enemy? Anyone who hates you. Anyone who curses you. Don't worry about all these papers up here. It's just a little bit of stuff on each one of them. Okay, listen. Bless them that curse you. How about this? And pray for them which despitefully use you. Now that's some hard stuff. How about that? How about praying for someone who despitefully use you? That word despitefully means just a nasty towards you, just malicious towards you, just treats you with cruelty. Pray for him. Remember Paul in 1 Timothy, I believe, chapter 4, he said, pray for those that are in authority. Pray for those that are in leadership. Pray for the rulers. And Paul was under Nero at that time. He was praying for the most wicked king ever. See, I go to a whole lot of churches. Now, either way, whether you got Bush or you got Obama, and you know what? Wherever you at, whatever your flavor is, Republican, Democrat, as a believer, you have responsibility to pray for those in leadership. Now, I've been to churches, and I heard when Bush was in office, I heard some preachers say, he's a devil, he's a devil. That's not biblical. I don't care how you feel about it. Your responsibility is to pray for them. Pray for those in leadership. Pray for those in authority. Okay? And that's important. Here's Paul, the chief persecutor of all times. I got so many scriptures on Paul. But look at Paul standing in court. He's explaining his past. And take note of this, because it's going to come up in the last point. But Paul is talking about his conversion, and he's being held in court. He's talking to, I believe, Agrippa and Felix, if I'm not mistaken. And he's in court. He's telling about his testimony. And he says this in Acts 26, 9 through 11. And he said, and I barely thought with myself. Now, that's always bad. Okay? That I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints that I shut up in prison have received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even into strange cities. Paul was a beast. He was a persecutor. Guess what? Somebody prayed for him. Amen. Somebody prayed for Paul. Somebody prayed for Paul. Let me give you one more on Paul. Acts 8:3. Ask for Saul. Ask for Saul. He made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. That word hell, it means he dragged them out of the church. They would come into a service like this today and just drag folks out. Just drag them out. Men and women. Why men and women? Because, and then Paul, when Paul seen men and women, that infuriated him. Because women were a great part of Jesus' ministry. Men and women were always a great part of the ministry. And Paul recognized that and he wanted to destroy it all. Listen. We talk about verse number 28 here. We talk about cursing you and pray for them who despitefully use you. Then he says in verse 29, and unto them that, wait a minute, I lost something here. I missed the point. Y'all hang in there with me. Got too much going on up here.
Amen.
Okay? We talk about hating. Let's go to the second point. I'm used to going straight down the text. I'm going to stay on this outline today. Why? And this is a great point. Why we must love our enemies. Now answer that question in your mind before I attempt to explain it. Why must we love our enemies? That's a great question. Ponder over that a little bit. Why? Because God is our example. Think about that. God is our example. And what were we prior to being saved? Prior to God calling us, what were we? Well, let's just take a real cursory look. We spent a lot of time in Ephesians, but my book of Ephesians, if I mess up reading it, it's only because it's all highlighted up. This is just a great chapter of Ephesians, of the Bible. Look at who we were prior to God calling us.
Oh, yeah.
out of darkness. We were enemies. And this is why it's so important that we love our enemies, because at one time, we were enemies of the cross, enemies of God, enemies of God's people. We hated the things of God, and we would avoid saved folks. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. I love this. And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. What do you mean dead? Spiritually dead. Didn't care nothing about the things of God. The things of God have no effect on your life, no effect on your behavior, no effect on your relationship, no effect on anything you did. You did whatever you wanted to do because you were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past, verse number 2, you walk according to the course of this world. And that word walk means you lived this thing out. You walked it. It was your everyday behavior. You did it and you didn't care what anybody thought. And you didn't care what the Word of God said. And if a Christian would have came up to you and said, you're wrong, you'd say, who are you to judge? Does the Word of God say, thou shalt not judge? And you just went on prancing down your own merry way, sinning yourself right to hell. Like one Baptist priest said, like a pork chop covered. Walking into a lion's den in a pork chop jacket. You ain't never heard that one before, did you, Deacon? Me neither. Listen, here's who we were. This is why it's so important we love our enemies. It is that where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We served a different spirit. We were filled with the Spirit, but it wasn't the Holy Spirit. It wasn't the Holy Spirit. We were doing what that Holy Spirit did. You're going to be controlled by something. Let me tell you something. You're going to be controlled by something. You're going to be controlled by the Spirit of God, or you're going to be controlled by the spirit of the devil. You're going to be controlled. You're not in the middle. Okay, you're not walking down the middle like this church. No, you're on one side or the other. You be in control. Listen, I like verse 3. Among whom we also had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh. How many know that flesh capable of doing? That flesh, even under the control of the Spirit. You heard Deacon Oliver praying this morning, got the two spirits in us. Just because you receive the Holy Spirit, though, guess what? The evil spirit don't leave. It just stay there and fight against you. And you're going to fight all the way to hell. Or heaven. It's a press way. I say that often. It's a press way. You're going to work your way. You're going to work this thing out. Word of God say, work out your salvation. How? With fear and trembling. You got to battle with this thing. You're going to battle with this thing. You can get saved. You can get saved today. But you went, guess what? Don't listen to nobody tell you your promise is over. They may just be starting. They may just be beginning. You gotta live this thing in the power of God's might. Look at verse 4. But God, I like this. Here we go. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. This is why we all love our enemies. Because we were once on the other side, and what God has done for us, he can do for others. And he said, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. By grace are you saved. That's why we ought to love our enemies. Look at Romans 5:8. Paul's still speaking here. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How about Colossians 1:21? And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now have he reconciled. Oh, I could go on and on and on. But we get the point. We ought to love our enemies. I'm going back to Mark, to Luke. We ought to love our enemies. Why? Because Christians are different from sinners. We are different from sinners, but we are sinners. And God, what God done for us, he can do for others. Listen, don't forget that. Listen, let's look at another point here. How do we love our enemies? That's a good question. How do we love our enemies? Paul says, Jesus says here, we are the blessed. bless them.
Oh.
To bless them. Bless those that persecute you. Bless those that curse you. How do you bless an enemy? That's interesting. By doing good. By doing good to them. I like this one. Look at Proverbs. You don't have to, but you write it down. 25 and 21. Because you need to know how to bless an enemy. How's the church going to grow? How's the church going to grow if we hate our enemies? Why are you here? Why are you here if you were? How did you cross over? Somebody blessed you. Somebody prayed for you. That's why we come up here every Sunday morning. We pray. You're Christine this morning. Talking about praying for folks. Praying for folks. We want to see our prayers answered. When prayers are answered, it gives the church confidence that God is answering our prayer. And we ought to go out there and work harder at trying to win lost souls.
Amen.
And God is answering our prayers. This is a blessed church. Listen, by doing good, look at Proverbs 25 and 21. Familiar scripture, but it needs some explanation. If thy enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. Why? For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. Listen, how many need a reward in here? Some of y'all ain't being blessed, but you're not being a blessing. Some of you sitting here in poverty and because you won't bless nobody, won't do good for nobody. Oh, y'all remember the widow of Zarephath? She only had nothing left. And she used it for the man of God. I'm not going to say that y'all need to use y'all's ass thing for the man of God. Some people will turn that around. But what he says here, by heaping coals of fire, what this text is saying here is that back in that day, when you want to purify something, you would heat it up. You would heat up the fire, and that would remove all the drops. That would remove all the impurities, and then that silver would just run down. Well, by heaping coals on a person's head, by doing good, you heaping coals on their head, because now they have you dealing with that power source. And when you get the head right, the body will follow. You bless them by heaping coals on their heads. Do good to people. It's not hard. In the world we live in today, the Bible says the harvest is truly plentiful. But the laborers are few. It's not hard to find someone to throw a little coal on. Oh no. It ain't hard. Amen. It ain't hard. Listen, love triumphs over evil. Love wins. And I'm not talking about the kind of love that one preacher talked about up in Seattle. Love wins. Listen, the ultimate goal of the believer is to save the sinner. That's our ultimate goal. That's what we're here for. Look at Paul talking to the church in Rome, and he's talking in Romans 10, I believe, and he says Paul's prayer is for Israel's salvation. He wants to see people saved. He wants to see people saved, not just come to church. See, we spend a lot of time getting people to come to church. I don't care if you come to church. I want to see you saved. I want to see you walk out of here and say that because of the Word of God, I've heard the Word of God, I've been quickened in my spirit, and now I believe. I'm ready to accept Christ as my Lord and Savior and live for Him. Paul says this. He said, brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for that Israel would be saved. It hasn't changed. You want your loved ones saved. And then you want to bring them somewhere. That's why people say, I'm going to bring them there. Bring them to hear the preacher. No. No. Bring them to hear the Word. Bring them to hear the Word. Bring them to hear the Word. Listen. How do we love our enemies? This is my last point. How do we love our enemies? How about that? Think about it. How do we love our enemies? By blessing them. By doing good. By praying for them. How about that? Anybody pray for enemy lately? Yes, sir.
Oh, yes.
You ought to have some. You ought to have some now.
Oh, yes, sir.
You tell me you don't have enemies, you mean you ain't standing for nothing. Listen. Look at Jesus. He's our great illustration. See, when you have Jesus as a great illustration, you stand on Luke 23, he's on the cross. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they came to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left hand. Malefactors, young people, criminals. criminals that have deserved to die, the ones that we deserve to die. Okay? Then said Jesus, not only to these malefactors, but to everybody that was listening, everybody that was sitting there wanting to see him die, because it was a show. If they start crucifixions again, it'll make a big crowd. Everybody be watching, because we are in a bloodthirsty nation right now. We love to see blood spilled. We love to see people getting killed and different things like that. So if they was go downtown in public square and start executing people, it'd be a big crowd down there. They could sell tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Bigger than Elton John. They ought to be crucifying down there. Alright, leave me alone, Deacon. Somebody might have been to Elton John last night. Listen to Jesus, what he said. He said this to the crowd of people. He said to all those folks watching, they were bloodthirsty. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And that's the same thing that Stephen did when he was being stoned.
Yeah.
Praying for your enemies. What's it mean to pray for your enemies? What are you praying for? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. See, you praying the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done. What's God's will? Can everybody be saying? See, when you pray, thy will be done, you're praying that God's will be done on earth. And God's will is that everybody be saved. That's God's will. His will is that everybody be saved. Everybody. Oh, we get it all confused. We get it all confused. Listen. Love conquers sin. There's a great chapter in the Bible, and I'm almost done. Amen. Keep cheering me on, sister. Where we at? Look at First Corinthians. Let's talk about love. How love conquers. And I see this, and I see this in a lot of you guys out there. And I know some of us struggle. Some of us are struggling. Some of us are going through. But when we understand this, This is good biblical counseling right here. Good biblical counseling right here. Because as a believer, and you come to the Lord, some of you come to the Lord and I'm still struggling. Okay? I come to the Lord while my people still sick. My kids still acting a fool. You know, I'm still going to funerals. That's life.
Yeah.
Love must be tough.
Yeah.
Love must be strong. Look at Paul. Paul in 1 Corinthians started at verse number 4. That word charity means love. That word charity means love. He said, love suffered long. Love suffered long. Love is in the suffering bit. It suffered long. It suffered long. Some of you in here today are suffering long. Know this. It's biblical. Love costs. And I always, anything alive costs you. Everything that's living costs. It's alive, it costs. Love suffered it long and is kind in the suffering. Love don't suffer long and is evil and raunchy and have a bad disposition. The true love, biblical love, suffer long and is kind. And in this, and love envieth not. Not jealous. Love vaunted not itself. It's not puffed up. You know, you go to the gym and you walk around and you see everybody and they puffed all up and two workouts. I was working out with Jeremy. I was working out with Jeremy on Friday. He did one set and he's looking in the mirror. Like, what you doing? Go here. He turning all around doing this. Love is not puffed up, not running around here. Because you got it good. Some of us got it good. Some of us got it real good. But it's not a reason to be walking around here looking down on folks. Okay? Thank the Lord that you got it good. And then find a way to be a blessing.
Amen.
Find a way to bless somebody.
Yes,
and you keep it. Love is not puffed up. Love do not behave itself unseemly. Okay? Unseemly. Out of sync with God. You're not a disruptor. You're not a troublemaker. You're not a problem. Love seeketh not its own. Not looking to advance your personal agenda. You got a problem with this, you got a problem with that. Love is not trying to push itself out front. Love is humble. Seek not his own. Listen, I like this last one. It's not easily provoked. You're in the ministry. You can't be running around here easily provoked. You can't have a quick trigger. Because really once you have a quick trigger, we go to fire range. One thing you problem with the quick trigger, you shoot your own foot off. Can't have a quick trigger. Listen. Thinketh no evil. Y'all ever thought about what that really means? Love thinketh no evil. Love don't keep a record. You got an amplified Bible, one of the translations may say, love don't keep a record. It don't keep a record of rights and wrongs. Or, you know, you get an argument with your husband. There you go again. There you go again. I keep you just do the same thing over. I mean, you got a record. Okay, there you go. Did it again. Did put the toilet seat down again. Did put the toilet seat down. Did flush the toilet. Got sticky notes all over the house. Who left the top off the ketchup? You just got a record. Hey, it has to be you, because you got a record. Lord, don't keep a record. I know Ray probably said, you're going to be a long ride home with you today. I got some stuff on you that you said. We all understand what I'm saying. Rejoice is not in iniquity. You're not sitting around hoping somebody else falls so you could be elevated. You know? They got a saying at my job because everything, all the promotions is based on seniority, days off and everything based on seniority. So if somebody gets sick or die or get fired, I don't care about that person. He was below me. But if somebody died ahead of them, they kind of rejoice because now they can get a Saturday, Sunday off instead of Friday, Saturday. They moving up. I like this part about love. Not only does it not rejoice in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. True person with true biblical love. Love hearing the truth of God's word preached. They love hearing the truth of God's word preached. They want to go down the text. Like Dr. Warren, when he was here, said, don't preach what you wanted to say, but don't preach what you think it should say. Amen. Preach what it say, and let the chips fall. Okay? You're not in a popularity contest. Amen. Love. Love. I got a couple quotes that I took. Now I want you guys to hear this and I'm going to close. And it's George Washington Carver. Black History Month. And George Washington Carver was a great man. Watch what he said here. Now pay attention to this, but this is good. He said, I will never let another man ruin my life by making me hate him. Is that good?
Amen.
Ain't that good? Because usually the folks that you hate and you got so many problems with, they ain't thinking about you. Your blood pressure is sky high and you stressed all out and they out there sinking 30-foot putts.
Amen.
Ain't shaking or nothing. Like, man, you calm as a cucumber.
Amen.
And you sitting at home fuming.
Amen.
Amen.
Listen. I am not destroying my enemies when I make friends with them. Excuse me. Am I not destroying my enemies when I make friends with them? Abraham Lincoln took a stand, got his head blown off. Oh well. Sometimes that's what it costs. Love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend. Martin Luther King Jr. How about that? Where you at today? How about that? Amen. How about that? I close. How are you? How'd you do? How'd you do?
Amen.
Let's remember this as I conclude. Sometimes we forget where we come from. And I think I'm just going to remind you with one text. And I'm doing really good today. And you feel so much better, Deacon. You ought to feel better when you hear the word. I call Deacon on the phone, and we just start talking. He'd be grumbling. Then we start talking about the words. Next thing you know, he hollering, screaming. I'm going to call you. Yeah, he gets excited. The word ought to excite you. Look at Titus. Look at Titus chapter 3. And this is it. This is it. And this is good, though. Listen to Titus chapter 3. in verses 3. This is for us, just a reminder. It's sort of like Ephesians, but I just want to say it one more time from a different book of the Bible and give you something to take note of, because I think this is important. Because we forget. We forget. Titus is saying this, and Paul is talking to Titus, and he's on the pastoral epistle. He's talking to a church. He's talking to church folks that are struggling. It's not unusual for us to struggle in the house of God.
Amen.
He's talking to the church. This is a part of this pastoral epistle. Look what he said. For we, Paul's talking, he said, for we, I circled that in my Bible, ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. Paul gives you 8 characteristics of the person before God calls him. And we all those.
Amen.
All of us in here.
Amen.
Prior to our conversion.
Yes,
But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Now that's interesting, because if the love and kindness of our Lord Savior has appeared, there ought to be a change.
Amen.
I listen to a song today that says there's been a change in me. There's a change. Something supernatural happens. Salvation is supernatural. It's supernatural. I know we don't like talking about supernatural in Baptist church.
Come on. Well, I was saved and...
No, it's supernatural. Something supernatural happened to you.
Yeah.
Something powerful happened to you. Paul said, our word didn't come to you in word only, but in power.
Yeah.
In power. Now, in Acts 1, they said, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will receive what? Power. Power to do what? Stop doing some stuff that's causing you problems. You get the power to live a righteous life. The power to walk worthy of the high calling of God. Power. We need power. I need power. I need power to stay committed. I need power to stay committed to my wife and to my church and to the Lord and to the things of God and to walk worthy and holy. I need power to do it. I can't do this. I can't do this. Can't do it. On my own strength. I need the power of God. Watch this. But after the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward men appeared. And when he say appeared, he came unto you. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly. How? Through Christ Jesus our Savior. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's all I'm going to read. Father, thank you for the word of God today. Father, thank you for the word of God today. Thank you, Father God, for saving us, for calling us out of darkness into your marvelous life, for quickening us, Father God, when we had a mind to do evil. We had a mind to do what we wanted to do, what we thought we wanted to do. We did anything we wanted to do, and evil was on the main recipe, on the main menu, excuse me. We love serving Satan. We love serving the devil. But when the grace of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, appeared, it appeared not in just appearance, but with power, you delivered us. You gave us the strength to turn and walk away from some stuff. Father God, we didn't have to quit doing anything. We just started loving you more. And things just start falling off of us, Father God. Nobody told us we had to stop doing anything, Father God, because when the love of God came into our lives, came into our hearts, it revealed things and it gave us the strength just to walk away. Because we found a greater love in Jesus Christ, our Savior.